You've made it through the whole day. Meetings, hallway conversations, the constant interaction. And now someone's suggesting happy hour and dinner, which means drinks afterward. And you're thinking, I should go. I need to go. What if I miss something? What will my boss think if I leave early? Welcome to The Introverted Leader. It's a podcast helping introverted leaders embrace your underrated, quiet strengths so you can get promoted and start earning what you deserve. I'm Greg Weinger. I have over 25 years of leadership experience. Yes, I am an introvert. This is the mini-sode. It's a short weekly episode where I pull one key insight from this week's guest interview, add in my own perspective, and make it practical for you. Okay, here's a thing that happens to a lot of us during our careers. You find yourself in a culture where the work doesn't stop at 5 o'clock. And I don't mean the actual work, I mean the social work. It's the happy hours that somehow run past midnight. Conversations at the bar that feel like they might matter. There's that group that's still there when you personally can't take it anymore. They're still laughing or building rapport or whatever it is that they're building. And meanwhile, you've been on all day. You've been engaged, present, managing that energy that it takes for you to be socially available, and your tank is empty. So now you have a choice. You can stay out on that empty tank, or you can go home and take care of yourself. And that fear that you'll fall behind or be on the out somehow if you stop performing is one of the most quietly exhausting parts of being an introvert in leadership in a culture that wasn't made for you. So I've lived this. I had a team that loved to go from 8 a.m. to midnight or 1 or 2. It was just the culture, and participation did not seem optional. The other aspect here is I had already quit drinking, and this was a personal choice to improve my well-being, my sleep. And so I'm staying at these dinners, I'm ordering a mocktail or soda and bitters, and I'm watching everybody just get looser and louder and just so drained. And this is fine for a while. I'm managing my energy, but at some point, the only thing that's keeping me there is this fear that I'm going to miss out on something important that's happening on that fourth or fifth beer. So I stayed. This all came to a head when I was on a work trip. I was in New York City, and I was in this hotel room, and I was just sitting there thinking, this cannot be the deal. It just felt so unfair. But I was also really getting sick of my own complaining. The rules were the rules. They weren't changing. But this part of me wasn't either, and I was just so exhausted from pretending. I had a choice to keep fighting this, or I could take care of myself. And I decided then that I was going to show up fully in meetings during the daytime, but at a certain point, I was just going to take care of myself, and I wasn't going to play this game and let the chips fall where they may. I wasn't going to perform anymore at all hours just to prove I'm a team player. I'd be lying if I said that this didn't make a difference with that team, but it made all the difference to me. And in the situations that mattered, I knew that my performance was better because of it. So here's what I learned. Masking is expensive, and most of us are paying for it without really looking at the bill. When a situation is feeling bad, you physically feel bad. You've got to pay attention. Your body, your mind are telling you important information. My guest, Steve Friedman, had a very similar experience, and he developed a framework he calls the five phases. It goes all the way from unaware, all the way through flourishing. And the most important shift is you stop thinking that the exhaustion is your fault. You realize you've been running on a system that wasn't designed for you, and this is not a weakness. It's critical information about reality, about what is. You can't move toward flourishing until you name this completely. Let's take a look.
I found in the business I was in that for me to grow and pursue my aspirations, that I had to move from more of a logistical, analytical role into a more commercial role, which meant more socializing and more time with people that I really didn't know. But that was a career path. And if I didn't choose that path, I would be stuck and I wouldn't have achieved my goals. And so I'm not sure it was the best path for me, but it was a path I went on well before I reached enlightenment. And it just made me even more apprehensive about going to work. And the way I solved that for myself was I picked up these behaviors that were not only unhealthy, but in many cases pretty dangerous for me. I traveled a lot and drank in strange cities at strange times in order to try and cope with that. And finally, I was on a trip. I was actually in Hiroshima touring around. And after I finished the tour, I sat on a park bench and I used to journal. I still journal a lot. And I was just reflecting on how miserable my life was. And I had achieved a lot of my business goals and career goals. I was miserable. And I realized at that moment, something had to change. Either I needed to leave the business and go find something completely different to do, or I needed to figure out how I could do this my way. And I wasn't really sure what I was going to do, but I knew I had to do something like that. And as fate would have it, I was living in London at the time, came back to London after that trip, and I sat down with my manager to report out on how the trip went and so forth. And he took a pause after I had started. And he said, let me talk to you about something else. He said, while you were gone, I was talking to one of the other managers, and we've decided to combine your two groups because we think that'll be more effective and efficient. And your team will now report to John, and we'll try and help you find another role. Mm-hmm. And I was not a happy camper, to say the least. Mm-hmm. But in retrospect, I think this guy did me one of the biggest life favors that I could have asked for, because it might have taken me a while to make a significant career change. It's hard to do when you feel like you're making good money, supporting the family. It's maybe miserable, but it is what it is. And it's successful on the surface anyway. But he kind of made the decision for me. And I ended up finding another job, came back to the States. And I took that opportunity to find a job that was much more suitable.
You're never going to be the most successful version of yourself if you're not being authentic. And if you're an introvert, you've got to really tune in to exactly how you are and show up on your terms. So here's what I want you to do in the next 24 hours. Think of one thing you've been showing up for out of fear. Dinner, happy hour, whatever it is. Give yourself permission just to think through what would actually happen if I skipped it. What are the real consequences? Because often your fear is painting a picture that isn't reality. If you missed it, check out the episode with Steve Friedman. He walks you through all of these five phases. He has great information on networking and meetings. You're going to want to hear the full episode. Hit subscribe wherever you listen, and I'll see you there. I'm Greg Gwinger. Keep leading with quiet confidence, and I'll see you next time.